North Hampton Kollel, Shir given on Sunday, December the 18th, 2011, Kaf Beis Kislev, Tovshin Ayin Beis. Oh, nearly Hanukkah. Yeah. And we're up to Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches, and we'll take it from Pasuk Yud Zayin. Chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin. And we're talking all about how, we now start how David speaks about that Hashem has saved him from all various problems, dangers, and issues over the years. Oh, so chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Yishlach Mimorim, he sends from on high. Yikocheni, he takes me. Yamsheni, he drags me out, or he pulls me out. Mimayim Rabim, from many waters, or from plenty of water. Oh, so the first thing to note is that the pasuk is actually in the future tense. Everything's in this pasuk is in the future tense. Yishlach mimorim, he will send from on high. Yikochini, he will take me. Yamsheni, he will pull me out. Mimayim Rabim, from plenty of water. So the Rav Sadia Gaon on this pasuk explains that it's a tefillah, simple pshat, it's a tefillah. It's David HaMelech not recounting past salvations, but davening for future salvation. Hashem should please send from on high and pull me out from all various problems. He'll send from on high and he'll take me and he'll pull me out from lots of plenty of water. In other words, from the dangerous situations. Hashem should save me in the future tense. That is how Rav Sadia Gaon learns it. I'm willing to. That's how Rav Sadia Gaon learns it. That's how Rav Sadia Gaon learns it. While Rav Avram ben Ramoch learns that in fact it's to be understood in a continuous sense. Although it's written in the future tense, you do find sometimes words in Hebrew which are written in the future tense that have a continuous meaning. And Yishlach Bimorim Yikocheni means Hashem constantly sends from on high. Yikocheni, he constantly takes me out of danger. Yamsheni, he constantly pulls me out Bimayim Rabim from tumultuous waters. So it's a constant effect of Hashem constantly saving me. That's how Rabbi Avraham ben Ramoch learns it. So Rav Sadia Gaon learns it as a tefillah for the future, simple translation in the future tense. Rabbi Avraham ben Ramoch learns it in the continuous sense. And just about everyone else learns that although it's written in the future tense, it actually has a meaning in the past. And it's referring to past events. Most other Mefarshim learn that. So let's come on first of all to Rashi. Rashi learns, first of all, he defines this word Yamsheni. Yishlach mimorim, he sends from on high, Yikocheni, and he takes me. Yamsheni, he pulls me out. And of course, Rashi and just about everyone else as well compares, says that this word Yamsheni is of course comes straight out of the Chumash from Shemos Perek Beis Pasuk Yud, where the daughter of Paro, Bisya Bas Paro, daughter of Paro, gives Moshe the name and gives him the name Moshe. And the pasuk says there, where is it? Chapter Beis, pasuk Yud. Vatikrash me Moshe, she called him Moshe. Vatim she said, Kimin Hamayim, Moshe Sihu. I pulled him out of the water. So Yamsheni has the same root, of course, as Moshe Sihu. I pulled him out of the water. That is then that's expanded on a little bit in the Pirush of the Masad Rav Kook on Tehillim, who points out something which I wish I'd have noticed myself and didn't, that the word Moshe Sihu, which is what is given for the naming of Moshe, is in the Kal, in the Kal conjugation, while in our pasuk Yamsheni is in the Hifil. It's two different treatments of the same root. The Masad Rav Kook points out there's no big deal of a difference, really. Whether it's in the Kal, whether it's in the Hifil, no real difference. Okay. What about this Yishlach? Yishlach mimorim, Hashem sends from on high, Yikocheni, and he takes me. So Rashi explains on that, that what does Hashem send from on high? It actually doesn't say in the pasuk what he sends. It says Hashem sends from on high, it doesn't say what he sends. It says Rashi, he sends angels, malachim. And what are we talking about? Saving Klal Yisrael from a particular situation. Which situation? Kriyas Yamsuf. The Egyptians were drowned in the Yamsuf, while Klal Yisrael were saved in the Yamsuf. And how did Hashem effect that salvation? By sending Malachim from on high.
My translation actually states he stretched out from above his hand.
Oh, his hand? Yes. Yeah. Now others say that. I'll come across him on this. I can't remember who says it. Others do set reference to the hand. Yeah, the hand of Hashem. Yeah, stretched out his hand. Yeah, it's echoed in another pasuk actually. Oh, and I didn't
really. The Bnei Israel from Egypt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it makes sense to say a hand or a malach or something like something. In a way, you could understand the hand is a messenger of Hashem. A hand of Hashem is a messenger of Hashem, like a malach is also a messenger of Hashem.
What's the source of this word then?
Which word?
Yamsheni.
Yamsheni, probably Memshin Hei. As in the name Moshe, which actually is would be the letters of the root. Memshin Hei. Yamsheni.
I seem to remember with Yaakov and Yitzchak. Yitzchak said Yamsheni. Isn't it the feel me? Is it feelings doing that?
Yamsheni.
Yamsheni.
No, it wouldn't be. And that root, I think, is Mem Shin Shin. Yes. Because there's a pasuk at the end of Vayetse when Yaakov complains to Lavan, "Ki mishashta es kol kelai, you have felt through all my belongings." Olai yemasheni ovi, Yaakov said to Rivka, "Maybe my father will feel me when I come in the guise of Esau. He'll feel me and he'll realize I'm not hairy."
It could still be grammatically the same root. No,
I don't think so.
Yeah, because if so, it may refer to feeling which comes from the hand, which would support what Stephen says.
Okay. Right. Let me check it up. Hang on a second. Right, I found it. Here we are in Toldos chapter Kaf Zayin Pasuk Yudbeis. Ulai Yumasheni Ovi. Maybe my father will feel me. Now, in that word Yumasheni, there is a dogish in the shin. Why is there dogish in the shin? Because the root is Mem Shin Shin. And there's a missing shin. And to replace that missing shin, we put a dogish in the remaining shin. That's quite a common thing, that when you have the second and third letters of a root the same letters, that one of them goes missing and is replaced by a dogish in the remaining one.
The actual quote is the last verse of Shmos, which says, "Ki biyod chazaka yishal chayim." It's very similar to the formulation in Tehillim.
Oh, also with Yishlach.
"Ki biyod chazaka yishal chayim, if biyod chazaka yigoshayim, may artsun."
Yeah. Similar idea. Yeah. Oh, but Rashi learns it's actually referring specifically to Kriyas Yamsuf. And Yamsheni pulls me out. Mimayim Rabim goes very well. Mimayim Rabim from Kriyas Yamsuf also goes well with Kriyas Yamsuf. That is Rashi on our Pasuk. However, Rashi later on Pasuk Kaf Aleph gives a different pshat on our Pasuk. It's interesting how the Rashi is in a slightly different place. Rashi there on Pasuk Kaf Aleph says it harks back to something which we mentioned much earlier, right at the beginning of the chapter. In Pasuk Gimel we had Hashem Sali, Hashem is my rock, and on that we spoke all about the story that's about when Shaul was chasing David, and we had the whole story of Shaul chasing David, and they came to the Sela HaMachlukus, the rock which split, and that is, oh, 1 minute, where's that gone? That's the whole story is found in Shmuel Aleph, and it's near the end of chapter Kaf Gimel. The whole story there, in brief, is that there were Yidden from the tribe of Yehuda, David's own tribe, who lived in a place called Ziph, and they were called the Ziphim, and they reported David's whereabouts to Shaul. Knowing that Shaul was after David, they reported David's whereabouts to Shaul. They said, "He's here, he's with us, he's within this area, territory of Ziph." So Shaul went off to chase David, and David was in a particular area where he was near some kind of a rock. Shaul surrounded him and was on the verge of capturing David when a malach came. Now, the pasuk says a malach came along, a messenger came along, and said to Shaul, "Quick, you better hurry, because you've got the Pelishtim are overrunning the land. The Pelishtim are attacking. So don't hang around here chasing David. Go and rescue the country from the hands of the Pelishtim." And there was a bit of a diversity of opinion among Scholl's troops. We've almost got David. You know, we're surrounding him. We've almost got him. Shall we finish off the job and catch him now? Or should we go and rescue the land from the Pelishtim's attack? And they went back and they went to defend themselves against the Pelishtim, and David got away. That area, that place is called the Sela HaMachlukus. It became known as the Sela HaMachlukus. And when we learnt Pasuk Gimel at the beginning of the chapter, we mentioned three reasons why it was called Sela HaMachlukus. Because either there was a diversity of opinion within Shaul's army, should we get David first, or should we defend ourselves in the Pelishtim first? So that comes from the word Machlukus. Or another opinion was that the rock actually split and saved David in that way. He was able to hide, or he became inaccessible to Shaul's troops because there was some kind of split in the rock. Or it's also fair to the fact that when David ever visited that area later on in history, he would divide off from the rest of his troops in order to daven there to thank Hashem for having saved him in that place. At any rate, this incident from Shmuel Aleph chapter Kaf Gimel is referred to in our pasuk, and that's how Rashi learns. Yishlach mimom yikachini, Hashem sends from on high, and He rescued me and He saved me. Yamsheni pulled me out mimam rabim, from plenty of water. Water being a figurative expression for enemies, and I've been saved from my enemy of Shaul on that particular occasion. And that's what it refers to when David says I was saved from Shaul on that occasion. That's how Rashi learns it, and we'll come back to that still with one of the Medrashim. The Targum, there's a very...
That was the previous Tehillim, wasn't it, as well? The story first came up in the previous Tehillim.
Absolutely. No, on this chapter, actually. It's just loads and... It's just a long time ago. Pasuk Gimel. Hashem Sali, Hashem is my rock. And we learned it on that incident, that many Mephoshim say, Sali, Hashem is my rock, going back to that occasion when David was saved at that rock. Yeah. In fact, to prepare this year, I went back to the recordings and listened to the recording on that year to refresh my memory. Yeah. Okay. The Targum on this pasuk. The Targum says, "Shalach." I'll read out the Targum and then I'll tell you how the art scroll explains this Targum, although I don't understand how the art scroll get their pshat from the Targum. The Targum reads, Shalach Neviyohi, he sends his Novi, his prophet, I think that's what it means, Melech Takif, a strong king, Yosef, living Bisakof, Rumah, in might, in power, Rumah on high, Dabrani, he pulled me out, Shezvani, he saved me Amamin Sagin, from many people. So one interesting thing on this Targum, first of all, is he saves me me'amamin sagiyin, from many people, is the translation of yamshini mimayim rabim, from plenty of water. You can see that this idea of water is just a mussel. It's a mussel to enemies. Hashem saved me from my multitude of enemies. Me'amamin sagiyin.
So where is it mayim then?
We'll come on to that. Let me see if I can find it here. We'll come on to it. We'll come on to it. We'll get there. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, which I can't see in my notes. When we get there, we'll find it. Why enemies are referred to as mayim? We'll see. Okay. What we do see though in this pasuk is Shalach Neviyohi. He sends, I think it means his prophet. And the art scroll on Tehillim explains this pasuk in the light of the Targum. I don't quite see how art scroll gets it from the Targum. Having learnt through the Targum, I must have misunderstood the Targum. At any rate, the art scroll explains that what the Targum is saying is that David is saying that I have been chosen by a Novi. A Novi came along and appointed me as the Melech of a Klal Yisrael. And which Novi are we talking about? I assumed we'd be talking about Shmuel, because Shmuel was the one who anointed David as Melech, as king. But the art scroll says it's actually a reference to another Novi, Nosan HaNovi, where we have a Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, and it's chapter Zion Pasuk Ches, let me get this, which says that Shmuel Beis, here we are, Shmuel Beis, chapter Zion Pasuk Ches, where the Pasuk says, V'atah, is Hashem talking to Nosan HaNovi, Now, this is what you should now say to my servant David. So says Hashem Tzavakos, Ani lekachticha min hanoveh. I have taken you from the pasture, me'achar hatzon, from behind the sheep, lios nogid, to become a king or a leader, al ami of my people, al Yisrael of Yisrael. So this is Hashem talking to Nosan Hanovi, saying, take this message to David. And the message being, I've taken you from the noveh, from being a shepherd. I've taken you from the fields, the pasture of the fields, to become a king. And that is what our pasuk is referring to. This is how the art scroll explains the Targum's explanation of the pasuk. Namely, Yishlach Mimorim, you sent from on high, Yekocheni, you took me from being a shepherd into becoming king. Yamshemi, and you pulled me out, Miman Rabin, from plenty of water. You saved me from, or you elevated me from being a shepherd, from being a humble shepherd, into becoming the king. That is how the art scroll explains the Targum on our pasuk.
Well, what's the connection between Nover and Maim Rabin?
So I was wondering about that, and it could be, and I'm not sure, it could be that Maim Rabin is a reference to the irrigation of the fields so that the sheep can eat. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. Oh. Yeah, the Mesillas David says the same as the Targum, namely the phrase at the end, Yamshini min mayim rabim, you pulled me out of plenty of water, is a reference to the enemies who chase me, who flow like water. They rush after me like water rushes. That's one connection there. There's another one still. Yeah. The Ibn Ezra explains, what is this idea? Yishlach mimorim, he sends from on high. What does Hashem send from on high? That's not written in the pasuk what Hashem actually sends. Says the Ibn Ezra, it either refers to Hashem's word, Hashem sent a word down to earth, and or he sent a command, if you like, down to earth, and whatever he wanted to happen, happened. Or it could be a reference to Malach. Hashem sent a Malach. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns it. And then the Ibn Ezra says a beautiful idea. Yamsheni mimayim rabim, Hashem pulls me out of plenty of water, says the Ibn Ezra, is an echo to what we learnt earlier in Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey, afafuni chevle maves, I'm surrounded by pains of death, v'nachale v'liya'al yiva'asuni, and rivers of bad people terrify me. So there, so it says the Ibn Ezra, back in Pasuk Hey, we have a reference of to the enemies of David being compared to water. For Machale Vilial, these are rivers of evil people, i.e. these sort of torrents of enemies are chasing after me, and they've terrified me. Says the Ibn Ezra, since there we see the enemies are compared to water, therefore here as well. Yamshini Mimayim Rabim, Hashem says, Hashem pulls me out from bad water, i.e. the enemies. Parallel to the Machale Vilial Yivasini.
I'm just wondering if a verse in Hallel is taken from here or from another place in Tehillim.
It could well be. You have the same idea. Afafuni, same.
Exactly the same word.
Same word. Afafuni.
Same
expression.
Metzoruni.
And the troubles of the grave found me.
Yes.
Yeah. The answer has to be, I don't know. But I think from the little, from the very small amount of Tinnim that I've learnt, I get the impression that some expressions are repeated. So Afafuni Chevle Moves comes here, and also in the Pesuk Mahala.
The fact that it shows that the reference to water is a reference to Sha'ol.
To Sha'ol, the grave.
Yes.
It could be. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I haven't learnt enough of Tinnim.
Why do you think it was connected?
Because in that verse in Hallel, are the exact words that David uses in that previous verse. Afafuni chevle moves. That's actually a quote from Tehillim.
Yeah.
But it continues, Umetzori sha'ol metzoruni.
But from a logic point of view, why would water be connected to the grave?
That's what David says after Afafuni chevle moves.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. That's why I don't. That's why I don't get.
In this particular case, he's talking about something negative.
Yeah.
About his enemies, which would mean to David the grave, probably, or Shaul. I mean, wars can be used for many things. It's not always. Not always life.
Even Tahara.
Yeah.
Just because it seems also in the case of
Pesach,
someone
dies. Well, I didn't know that. Okay. Well, they use water.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
When we say Pesach Hayim.
Yeah. I don't know. Could be.
Do we associate Shaul with grave? The name Shaul with grave?
Shaul and Shaul. I don't know. There are, I wonder if there's a connection. I don't know. The name Shaul and Shaul. Same letters.
Same letters.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a connection. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's come on to the Radak. We mentioned this Radak earlier on the previous pasuk because the Radak says. On the previous pasuk, that if a person is troubled by water, then there are two possible solutions. Solution number one is that Hashem could dry up the water, and solution number two is Hashem could pull the person out of the water. Now, the previous pasuk Tezayin, Vayero'u Afike Mayim, Vaygolu Mostos Tevel, is all about the water drying up. And that's again a reference to Kriyas Yam Suf, that the water of the Yam Suf dried up, the water and the seabed became visible. Vayigolu Mostos Tevel, the seabed basically, or the foundations of the world became visible. Vayigolu Mostos Tevel. That is solution number one to a problem of a person drowning in water, that the water can simply be dried up. And solution number two is in our pasuk, Yishlach Mimorim Mikachini, Hashem can pull me out of, and Yamshini Mimorim Rabbim, Hashem pulls me out of water. Says the Radak, this is what David is saying. I've been in different situations of problems. Sometimes Hashem has rescued me by getting rid of the enemy, that's drying up the water, last pasuk. And sometimes, rather than getting rid of the enemy, he simply removed me from the enemy. And that's our pasuk, Yam Sheni Mimayim Rabbim, Yishlach Mimayim Mikachini, Yishlach Yam Sheni Mimayim Rabbim. So two different possible solutions. And I think I mentioned that about the two different ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescuing a person from water. Let's go on to the mold.
So we create Yom Tov, Hashem did both.
Absolutely. Dried up the water and pulled us out of it all. Yeah, yeah.
We got rid of them and saved us.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Correct.
So it couldn't get any better.
When you say dry out the water, could it mean diverting the water as well?
I guess so. The rest of the water, the walls of water. The water split, leaving Yabasha, the dry land.
But the water didn't dry up, the water parted.
It parted, yeah, so it's diverted. Okay, yeah. Okay. But the land.
The seabed dried up.
The seabed dried up. I got most of Stavel, is the seabed was visible. Yeah. Oh. Let's come on to a piece of Malbim, but in order to do the Malbim, let's just zoom through the next few Pesukim as well. Okay, so we'll just take a look at Yud Ches, because the Malbim groups them all together. So Yud Ches, Yatzilin me'ovi oz, he saves me from my strong enemy, or misona'ai, and he also saves me from my haters, thank you, yeah, those who detest me, ki yamsu me'meni when they overpower me. Yekadmuni b'yom eidi, they get to me first, my enemies are after me and they arrive at my doorstep first, v'yom eidi, on the day of my punishment. Vayihi Hashem l'mishlon li, but Hashem is my support. Vayosieni l'merchov, and he brought me out to a wide expanse, which is an expression of salvation. Yechaltseini, I think it means something like he saves me or he rescues me. Kichofitz me, because he loves me or he has delight in me. Says that, now the Malbim learns all of this as being a moshul to someone drowning in water. It says someone's in water and his enemies have put him in the water, and the enemies are at the water's edge, and the fellow's in the water and he's desperately trying to get out, and he almost manages to get out. So what do the enemies do? The enemies sort of shove him back in, and they push him back in, because they're out to make him drown in the water. They shove him back in the water, and then the enemies surround the whole area of water. So there's absolutely no escape for this person. He's in the water, and even if he manages to get to the water's edge, they'll simply push him back in, and they can do that because they've surrounded him, and he's surrounded on all sides, and he'll never get out of the water. And that's how the Malbim understands what we've got in our Pasuk. So the Malbim takes it through. So if you have a look at Pasuk, from Yud Zayin, which is our Pasuk, he sends from on high and he saves me. Yamsheni mimayim rabim, he pulls me out of plenty of water. That's Hashem saving me. On to Yud Ches, Yatzilin miyadiyos. Again, Hashem saves me from the strong enemy and from those who hate me. He saves me when they overpower me. Then in Yud Tes we have Yekadmuni biyom Eidi. My enemies get to me first, says the Malbim. That's an idea of the enemies surrounding the pool of water to stop me from ever getting out. But Hashem is my support. Hashem saves me until finally, Hashem manages to pull me out. He pulls me out of the water, Lamerchav, into a wide expanse of land, and I'm absolutely saved. Yeah. So what the Malbim understands it, the Dovid is saying, I'm in trouble, I'm in water, my enemies surround me and they won't let me out of the water, but eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls me out of the water and then to a total and utter salvation. That's how the Malbim learns this. Okay, let's come on to the Medrash Shechatov. The Medrash Shechatov is actually a Medrash that we did learn earlier on when we did Pasuk Gimel. On that word phrase, Hashem Sali, Hashem is my rock. And we learned the whole story of this Selah HaMachlokus, where Shaul surrounded David, and David was at the rock, and then the Malach came along and told Shaul that the Plishtim are attacking. But Baruch Hashem, although we're revisiting that Medrash, and the Medrash Shechatov is the Medrash earlier in the chapter, it's actually printed on Pasuk Beis, we can actually come up with a very nice Chiddush still, something which we did not say when we learned the Pasuk earlier. And that is that when David was surrounded by Shaul's army on that occasion, and he's at the rock, David doubted the fact that Shmuel had anointed him. And David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmuel anointed me as the Melech, and what a waste of time that was, because I'm going to be killed now by Shaul. And Shmuel anointed me, and he said, I'm the Melech. Says David, you know what? Kol ha'odom kozev, as we say in Hallel. We'll be saying it this week, because we say full Hallel this week. Kol ha'odom kozev, every man is a liar. That's a pasuk from Tehillim, chapter Kufte Zayin, pasuk Yud Aleph. What was David referring to? He was referring to, or to, rather, to whom was David referring? He was referring to Shmuel Hanovi. Shmuel anointed me as a king, said I'd become a king. He was a liar. It's just not going to happen. Because I'm going to get killed by Shaul and his army now.
Not very nice, he said that.
Indeed not.
Doesn't
make him a liar. But he was saying, okay, well, the word kozev means a liar. Shmuel said, I would become king and I'm just not going to ever have a chance to rule. And therefore, David says, kolodom kozev, and he was referring to Shmuel. Yeah, it's strong words. But David's life was in total danger, right? Imminent danger because of Shaul.
When was referring to in the Halle?
When David said, Kala Adam Kosev, was we said Halle, is a reference to Shmuel.
Yeah, but that's the means it's against Hashem.
Yes, yeah, David.
You're accusing Hashem of lying.
Okay. It was some kind of. Deceive me.
It's mistaken.
Yeah, mistaken, but it is definitely David letting out his emotions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, what's going on? I was told I'd be king, and obviously Shmuel got it all wrong. It is strange. It's a good culture. How can David talk like that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And Hashem replied to David, no, don't worry. And he refers to a pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu referred to a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, and it's chapter Gimel pasuk Kaf, where the pasuk says, "Vayeda kol Yisrael," and all of Yisrael knew, everyone, midon, from Don in the north, va'ad Be'er Shava until Be'er Shava in the south, Ki ne'em on Shmuel le'novi l'Hashem. That Shmuel was a reliable and honest prophet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's David turning to Hashem and saying, what's going on? Shaul's going to kill me very soon. And what happened to Shmuel's anointing me? Kol Adam Kesev, Shmuel is a liar. Back came the reply from Hashem, no, don't worry, you're okay. Shmuel knows what he's doing. And Shmuel is reliable. Ki ne'em on Shmuel le'novi l'Hashem. Shmuel is a reliable and honest novi. What happened then? The Malach came along, and the messenger came along and gives Shaul the message that the Plishtim are attacking. And whereupon Shmuel says, okay, we'll have to leave David here. We've got something of national security to deal with, and that's of prime importance, and I'll leave David here, and I'll go and protect the country from the Plishtim. Now, the question is, who is this Malach? Now, the Pasuk is actually in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Kaf Zayin, where the Pasuk says, a Malach ba, a messenger came, El Shaul Lema, to Shaul, saying, Mahara, hurry up, Velecha, and go, Ki Fashtu Plishtim al Ares, because the Plishtim have overrun the country.
Yes.
Well, the Plishtim had come. Absolutely, they had come. And so the next pasuk says, "Vayoshav Shaul miridof acharei David," and Shaul left David and went to go back to fight the Plishtim to protect the country. The question is, who is the Malach? Says Rebbe, and this is all in the Medrash Shechatov, the Malach is a Malach min Hashamayim, is an angel, while Rabbi Yudon says, no, it wasn't an angel, it was a human being, Shaliach, he was a human messenger, we're carrying a message that the Plishtim had arrived. So you have a machlokes in the Medrash as to who this Malach was. According to Rabbi, the names here are important, according to Rabbi, it was a Malach min HaShemayim. And he quotes a pasuk, when did Hashem send a Malach from Shemayim to save David? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. It's chapter Yud Ches. It's pasuk Yud Zayin. Yishlach mimori nikacheni. Our pasuk. Hashem sent a messenger from on high who rescued me on that occasion at the Sela HaMachlukus, at that rock. And that is based on our pasuk that Rebbe understands that pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. The Malach is a Malach min HaShemayim. It's an angel. And in fact, the Medrash goes on to say, and I think it's brought in the name of Rav Pinchas, I didn't jot it down, that Rav Pinchas supports Rebbe in this idea that it was a Malach min HaShemayim. What's the support? Because what does the Malach say to Shaul? He says, Mahara, hurry up, Velecha, and go. Why? Ki fashtu plishtim al ha'aretz, because the plishtim have overrun the country. Well, that's not a way to talk to a human, that's not a way to talk to a king. If it be a human messenger, then the human messenger, in addressing the king, is only allowed to say one thing. He's allowed to give the facts. The facts are the Plishtim are attacking. Now, what are you going to do about that? That's not up to the messenger. That's up to the king. The king's got to decide. He's got to take a political and a military decision what to do. Do I stay here and get David, or do I go back and protect us from the Plishtim? But the Malach overreaches himself, and he says, "Maharav Alecha, you've got to hurry up and go." Now, if it would be a human being talking to Shaul, no human being, one of Shaul's own subjects, would have the audacity to speak to the king in that way. Therefore, says Rav Pinchas in the Medrash, that supports Rebbe's opinion that it wasn't a human being messenger, it was a Malach min HaShemayim. That's how Rebbe understands the pasuk, and he bases it on our pasuk, Yishlach mimorim yikachini, Hashem sent a messenger from on high to rescue me. That is Rebbe. Pardon?
Did David realize that because of the way he was spoken to? Did David HaMelech realize that?
Well, it was not David being spoken to. It was Shaul who got the message. Yeah, Shaul got the message from this Malach. You can't hang around here chasing David. You've got to get back to rescue us from the Plishtim. Yeah? So therefore that was a Malach min HaShemayim who would have given that message.
Is it possible that the mighty waters could refer to the waterfalls of Ein Gedi? Because that's where this actually occurred. So Ein Gedi is still today a famous oasis.
Yes.
And there's a famous waterfall.
Yeah. And you start remembering, right, is that where it happened?
Well, that's in Shmuel. That's where it says in Shmuel.
Does it? Where is that?
By Yishev bin Sodos in Gedi, by Yikasheh Shav Shol Me'achari Plishtim, by Agidu Lo Le'mor, in Eidavu B'midbar in Gedi.
Okay.
Wonderful. Shmuel Aleph.
Yeah, could you give me the pattern? Have you got the pasuk number there?
Yeah, Chaf Tes.
Immediately after that, the beginning of the next chapter.
Yes.
Yeah, beginning of the next chapter. So immediately after the fact that they call that place Sela HaMachlokos, you got the very beginning of the next chapter. So Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kaftalo, Pasuk Aleph, Vayaldom Mishama Yeshev bin Metzados Ein Gedi.
And it continues to Midbar Ein Gedi.
Yeah, that's it, possibly. The Midbar Ein Gedi. Very interesting. Yeah, yeah. If it's the same place, because it's, well, the Pasuk starts off by saying Vayal David Misham. David got up from there. So he's moved on. He's moving on from the Salah Machlokos to this place called Ein Gedi.
This is my Yeshev bin Sodos, Ein Gedi.
Yeah, but he's moved away. So are you suggesting that in our pasuk which says Yamsheni Mimayim Rabim, many waters, and Ein Gedi has got famous waterfalls,
yes,
and therefore it's a reference to that? Oh, so it could be, but I've got a problem with that, and that is the beginning of that pasuk, chapter Kaftalot, says Vaya'al David Misham. David got up from there, so he's actually moving away.
This is Vayeshev, and he settled. And he settled.
Yeah. But that's moving away.
I'm not sure whether he has moved away from Ein Gedi, or whether he's moved away from there, or whether he's still there.
No, I think I don't really know the geography that well, but I think that the phrase by Ya'al David Misham means he's moved away from there. From where? From Sela HaMachlokos.
Where is Sela HaMachlokos?
That's in an area called Ziph. And I don't know where Ziph is.
He's gone up.
Yeah, he's gone up. Okay, so it could be he's went north, going up. Could be. North. Not necessarily towards Yerushalayim, but it could be it means north. Yeah, I'm not sure. Vayal Dov Misham, he went up from there, from Sela HaMachlokos, and then he gets to Ein Gedi. So, in our pasuk, Yamsheni Mimayim Rabim might well not be a reference to Ein Gedi, because he's not had the story of Sela HaMachlokos, he's not yet in Ein Gedi.
Did he punish people of Ziph for betraying him?
I don't know.
It's a strange thing.
It's very strange.
His own tribe, and he was anointed as a king.
The people from Ziph came from Yehuda. Why were they betraying David? I do not know. I don't know. Very odd, yeah? I don't know.
He was already crowned as king by Shmuel.
He's already been anointed as king.
As far as his own tribe is concerned, he must have been head of the tribe.
Yeah, certainly he was accepted by many of his own tribe, but he wasn't functioning as a king, he was on the run from Shaul.
That is actually the nature of the family. You've got lots of problems. Problems come within the family itself.
Yeah. As Rabbi Beryl Wine says on one of his history tapes, there's no fight like a family fight. Yeah. I can't do the Chicago accent.
No,
I can't remember what it was talking about. Let's come on to this. We've now learnt, according to Rebbe, that this Malach who came to report the national problem of the Plishtim ever running out to Shaul, this Malach, according to Rebbe, is a Malach min Hashamayim. Rabbi Yudon disagrees. So he says, no, he was a Shumayach, he was a messenger, a human being messenger. Therefore, Rabbi Yudon cannot interpret our Pasuk in the same way as Rebbe interprets our Pasuk. Rebbe interprets our Pasuk Yishtach Mimor Mikachini as being a reference to the Malach who came to tell Shaul that the Plishtim were arriving and were attacking. And Yishtach Mimor, he sent this messenger from on high, Yikachini, and thereby he saved me, says David. Well, that's how Rebbe learned the Pasuk. Rebbe Yudon can't learn our Pasuk the same way. He must learn it differently. It was only according to Rebbe you can learn that the Malach who reported to Shaul was an angel. Only Rebbe can learn our Pasuk as being a reference to that. Therefore, Rebbe Yudon in the Medrash HaTov learns quite differently. Says the Medrash HaTov, what's our Pasuk talking about? Kriyas Yamsuf. Continuation from the last Pasuk, which is also talking about Kriyas Yamsuf. And therefore, Rebbe Yudon, in the Medrash HaTov on our Pasuk, defines our Pasuk as being all about Kriyas Yamsuf. How does it work? Says Rebbe Yudon that at the same moment that the last
members of Klal Yisrael were getting out of the Yam Suf at the far end of the Yam Suf, the last ones of the Egyptians were coming into the Yam Suf at the near end of the Yam Suf. Now that's a big, big chiddush, because I always imagined, and I don't know where I got this from, and it wouldn't surprise me if there are opinions like this, I always imagined Klal Yisrael come to the Yam Suf, and what are they going to do? There's the sea in front of them. Moshe ben Aminadov jumps in, the sea parts, Klal Yisrael go through on the dry land, and as Klal Yisrael are getting out of the Yam Suf at the far end, the Mitzrayim are arriving at the near end, see the dry land, right, let's go in. And in they go, and then the sea comes crashing down on them. In other words, that by the time the Egyptians got in, by the time the Egyptians got in, Klal Yisrael had already got out. Says Rabbi Yudon, no. When the Egyptians came into the water, Klal Yisrael were still in that area of where the water had been, and on the dry lands they were still crossing. And it was only as the last ones of Klal Yisrael left the area, left the dry land where the sea had been, that the last ones of the Mitzrayim came in. Let's come back to Rabbi Yudon. Rabbi Yudon in the Medrash Shechatov says that Klal Yisrael was still in the water when the Egyptians came in the water. Well, there was not in the water, in the dry land where the water had been when the Mitzrayim came in as well. And he says the last ones of Klal Yisrael left as the last ones of Egypt came in.
It's quite logical, isn't it? It's really quite logical. It's something that water crashes back. It wasn't a gradual drowning of them. It suddenly crashed back. As you even got out, the whole of the Egyptians were there, bang. Yeah.
It simply depends on the distance between them.
But even if it was 10 yards, I mean, if it happened, as the last one left, there's all sort of...
This version is the great amaze.
Oh!
What did you say?
This version that we're learning now is the great amaze.
Yes.
Now, what you've just said, Jonathan, let me just find this, is brought in the 8th Yosef on the Medrash Rabbah in Shemos Rabbah, Perek Kaf Beis Os Beis. And we're coming on to it very soon. Yeah? Absolutely. Oh, fantastic you said that. Yeah. Oh. Oh, Reish Lakish says, Rav Shimon Lakish extends what Rabbi Yudon said, namely that Klal Yisrael and the Egyptians are both in the area of the water at the same time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu used his right hand to do two jobs. His right hand saved Klal Yisrael by plucking them from the water, while at the same time using the same right hand to drown the Egyptians in the water. And of course it's based on the Pasuk in Shemos, chapter Tesvov, Pasuk Vov, where the Pasuk there says, hang on a minute, Tesvov Vov, here we are. Yeah. Yiminecha Hashem nedri v'koach, nedri v'koach. Your right hand, Hashem, is glorified with strength. Yiminecha Hashem terat soyev, and your right hand, Hashem, crushes the enemy. So the first half of the Pasuk, nedri v'koach, you're glorified with strength, your right hand glorified with strength. What is that about? Rescuing Bnei Yisrael with your right hand from the Yam Suf.
My hand in the Dovid refers to in Tehillim. When he says,
But some of Rashi will learn like that. And Yamin Hashem Tzirat Seyev, your right hand Hashem crushes the enemy, is all about using the same right hand to crush the enemy, to drown the enemies in the Yam Suf.
It's interesting, the right hand is associated with righteousness. And Chesed, and Shmuel left is with strict Gevura. Now here Hashem uses his right hand for Chesed for Bnei Israel, and in so doing, he's combining Gevura as well. So don't mention the left hand, but the right hand is actually doing the Gevura. So here is a fusion of Chesed and Gevura, which we don't get in this world. So it's a spiritual thing that's happening. In the Shemayim, the two are one. Down here, they're separate. Except that the Yom Suf, they come together.
Yeah.
That's when any miracle actually goes through the order of nature.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very, very deep thing that's happening here. Something from straight from Shemayim, something down here, impossible on this earth, becomes possible.
Yep. Rav Shimon Lakish, still in the Medrash HaKhazir, Rav Shimon Lakish says another big chiddush, namely that some of the Egyptians made it through on the dry land. It's an extension of what Rabbi Yudon says. Rabbi Yudon says that the last ones of the Israel came out as the last ones of Egypt went in. In other words, they were all in the area of the sea at the same time on the dry land. And he says a big chiddush that some of the Egyptians made it right the way across before the sea came crashing down, and made it out of the area, still chasing out a Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them and threw them back in and brought the water on top of them. And quotes the pasuk in Yehoshua.
The wind.
I don't know. Hashem picked them up and threw them back in, or made the water go on them.
He was the head of the army.
You said this. I've heard you say it now, I think, three times on this Tinnim Shim about Hillel, who saw this skull in the water. That was the skull of Paro. You found a source for it, didn't you? You told me, you phoned me. Yeah. But at any rate, some of the Egyptians made it all the way across, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the water on them, and he quotes the Pasuk, Shimon ben Lakish quotes the Pasuk in Yeshua, it's chapter Kaf Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, where the Pasuk says, talking about Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayovei Olov Es Hayom, he brought the sea onto them. In other words, they'd already crossed over successfully, and Hashem sort of took the sea out of its natural area onto them.
Because when the water returns, it'll flow over quite a bit. So probably
it's tidal wave, you mean?
And then the tidal wave would just push them back in.
It wouldn't push them back in. It wouldn't push them back in.
It wouldn't come back in by itself, it's the tidal wave that will flow and push everything in and settles out.
But the tide goes back, and when it goes back, it pulls things with it, only if it was in the action of a tide. But it is Yom Tov, maybe, I don't know.
It's not quite a tide, though, is it? It's the wind that are pulsing the walls of water.
There's nothing to draw it back.
Certainly makes good dramatic sense.
Of course, this is supported by the B'nai Israel. Some of the doubters were saying that they were, after the event, some of those kept going in the chase of them.
Yeah.
So they must have seen this.
Yeah.
So it is a witness to it.
Yeah. Someone actually asked me, what was the story of Paro at the end? And with his head, his skull floating in the sea.
It was Hillel who saw the skull floating in the water, and he said, just as you drown many people, they have drowned you.
Mm. That's a mission in Pekah. Ironically, just coming back now to what Jonathan said earlier, where he actually expressed the same idea that's found in Me'itz Yosef. This whole idea of at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, if you look in the Medrash Rabbah, it's in Shemos chapter Kaf Beis O Space, says that it's brought by Rabbi Yochanan, that the last members of Klal Yisrael were leaving the area of the Yamsuf as the last ones of the Egyptians were going into the area of the Yamsuf. Rav Shimon Lakish agrees with that and says that the sea locked B'nai Yisrael and the Egyptians into the area of the sea altogether. Something like that. That the Yidden and the Egyptians were locked in by the sea area all at the same time. Whereupon Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mayasu Yisrael, what should Klal Yisrael do? We're stuck, we're trapped here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, Iyat or Zokuk, you don't need anything, you're okay, you'll be absolutely fine. Es Elohim Nes, I'll do a miracle for them. Whereupon HaKadosh Baruch Hu stretched out his hand and brought Klal Yisrael out of the Yam Suf. Shenema, Yishlach Mimori Mikochini, Apostle Hashem stretched out from on high and took me out. And the Eitz Yosef explains what Jonathan said, that it makes the miracle of the Yam Suf greater. Why? Because Klal Yisrael and Egyptians were all in the area of the water together, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu still brought Klal Yisrael out from the sea.
Especially, probably the last people in the Klal Yisrael were the women and the little ones.
Ah, could be.
Well, the heads of the Egyptian army were the leaders, the officers, maybe Pharaoh himself.
But you
do get that there was a difference between where the Yidden were walking on dry land, and where the Egyptians came in, the wheels were taken off because it wasn't dry land. So there was a difference. So even though they were both in the same sea at the same time, the sea bed rather, one was being discomforted, the other one was being rescued.
Yeah.
So it was ongoing.
Okay. Interestingly enough, the parallel pasuk to ours, the one in Shmuel base, chapter Kaf base, is identical. Till now, we've always looked at the differences between our Pesukim and the Pesukim in Shmuel base. This one actually has no changes at all. Yeah? So it's nice to know. The Alkut Me'amlois explains, gives us a few different shots on this. Yishlach Mimorim Yikochemi. He says, to whom, what does it refer to when Hashem sent from on high and took me? Is a reference to Moshe and Aaron. Because Moshe and Aaron were the shalichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the word Yishlach Mimori Mikachemi is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointing shalichim to rescue Klal Yisrael at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And who were those shalichim? They were Moshe and Aaron. And Yikochemi, he took us. What does it mean? He took me. He rescued us as a people. Hashem took us to Himself as a people. So that's Yishlach Mimorim. He sent the messengers Moshe and Aaron, Yikochemi, and with that he brought us near to Him as a people. That's one shot brought in the Alkan Amnes. Then on the phrase Yamshini Mimayim Rabin, he pulled me out of many waters. What is that referring to? Says the Alkan Amnes. That's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving the children from Paro when Paro made his edict, Kol Habein Hayilod Hayaura Tashlichuhu, chuck all the young baby boys into the Nile. That's the pasuk in Shmos. It's chapter Aleph pasuk Kaf Beis, and of course many children did drown. Many children drowned from that. The boys, yes. But of course, it seems that others would have been rescued as well. Yeah, Moshe, of course, was rescued because Moshe's parents put him in the water. Yeah, oh, Princess of Matt, we're coming to that. But the Moshe was put in the water by his mother, Yocheved, in order that the Egyptian astrologers should get the impression, oh, he's okay, he's in the Nile. That baby boy, I saw it in one of the Midrashim. Yeah, that she had. How are you doing? Yeah. Okay. All right. She felt that the astrologers had wind of the fact that this baby boy has now been born and he's going to rescue Klal Yisrael. So, and told Paro, and she put Moshe in the water, actually when he was 3 months old, in order to give the astrologers the impression that he's in the water, he's drowned, yeah, he's dead.
How did she know that this was the right thing to do at that point?
I don't know.
Well, that's the gift of prophecy, though, but we don't credit her with that in the
possibility. Yeah, maybe it was Miriam who she was a prophetess, and maybe Marines.
Yeah, maybe. I think it was Yecheved's doing to put him in the water. I think so. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, pshat number two of Yam Sheni Mimayim Rabim, all brought to the Yaakov Amis. Second pshat is simple pshat. Yamsuf Hashem rescued us Mimayim Rabim from plains of water. It's reference to the Yamsuf. And the third pshat that he brings there is that again it's a reference to the choice of David as a king. And he quotes a posuk in Tehillim, it's chapter Ayin Ches, posuk Ayin. Here we are. He chose David his servant. He took him from the sheep pens, because David was taken from his job as being a shepherd and elevated to becoming the king. So that word, of course, coming from the same root as yikocheni in our pasuk. So that's how the Yaakov Memnoz learns the second pshat, that our pasuk is all about choosing David to become the next king of Klal Yisrael. Then he brings something else, that Yam Sheni Mimayim Rabim, this is still in Yaakov Memnoz, Yam Sheni Mimayim Rabim, he pulled me out of many waters, is reference to the enemies.
Oh. Well, this ties into your earlier explanation that Mayim Rabim could refer to irrigated fields of a shepherd
will graze. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Now the fourth pshat is come back to what you were mentioning earlier, Jonathan. Okay. Where Yamsheni Mimayim Rabim means Hashem rescued me from many waters. What are these waters? It's the nations of the world, the enemies. And I mentioned how the Mesudas David explained that that the enemies of Klal Yisrael like torrents of water chasing after him and so on and so forth, out to get David, chasing after David, like water rushes. Says, and you asked earlier, well, what's the exact connection? How can we assume that Mayim Rabim is a reference to enemies? So on this, the Yaakov Memnoz addresses it. The Yaakov Memnoz quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. And it's Yeshaya chapter Yud Zayin, and it's Pasuk Yud Beis, where the Pasuk says, Hoy Hamun Amim, I've written down the English because it's quite a hard Pasuk to translate. Hoy Hamun Amim, woe to a multitude of peoples, Rabim Kahamos Yamim Yehemoyun. These multitude of nations, they roar like the roaring of the seas.
Where he compares the nations to seas.
Oh yeah, it's another one.
There are some. I'm sure there's some more references.
Could be. Could be. This is the only one I'm aware of. There could well be others. So Kamos Yamim Yehemoyun, these people, they roar like the roaring of the seas. Ushaon leumim, and the rushing of the nations, kishaon mayim kabirim yeshaon, they rush like mighty water. So it means the enemies of Klal Yisrael, these enemies, they rush, they're chasing after us, they're rushing after us like the rushing of the water, and they will roar like the roaring of the waters. Now what exactly is this pasuk all about? Rashi explains that it's a reference to the armies of Sanherib. Specifically to Sanherib, I'm not sure why, but specifically to Sanherib. But the general idea, the psukim around here in Yeshaya chapter Yitzhak speak about how these enemies, they'll eventually have their comeuppance, and they'll also fall by the wayside. So at any rate, what we see from that pasuk in Yeshaya is how the enemies of Klal Yisrael are referred to as like waters, the rushing of the waters. That's how the Yaakov Memnoz explains it. Oh, now. Then the Masad Rav Kook asks a beautiful kasha, such a simple kasha. Again, I was a bit frustrated not to think of this kasha myself. Our pasuk says, Yishlach Mimori Mikachini, he sends from on high and he takes me. He says, well, wait a minute, that means Hashem is still on high. Yishlach Mimori, Hashem sends from on high, that means Hashem is above. Wait a minute, says the Masad Rav Kook. We learnt earlier in Pasuk Yud, Vayet Shamayim, he bent the heavens, Vayerad, and he descended. That's a pasuk which he had earlier, pasuk Yud in our chapter. They're talking about Hashem coming down to save himself, coming down to save Klal Yisrael at the Yam Suf. So that pasuk says Hashem has descended. So if he's descended, why is it Yishlach Mimorim? Why is he sending from on high? He, Hashem, has descended. So he answers, and I'm not sure if he answers the answer fully, but he answers, yeah, Hashem has come down, but even when he does come down, he still remains above Klal Yisrael to protect them from above.
I mean, to see poetically that Hashem comes down, obviously he doesn't need to come down. He can send a malach.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because Hashem is everywhere. He doesn't actually need physically to come down.
Of course.
It's just the poetic image of
yes,
the
of course, of course.
And
so it could be that, when Moshe received the Seres Fibros, that Hashem did actually come down, shall we say, from the sort of the spiritual dimension into there was something going on. It makes it sound poetic that, like, you know, Hashem came down from the sky down to the mountain.
Yeah. But really, the revelation of Har Sinai was on a different order.
Yeah,
this David was David and Tehillim.
But I think there's still some sort of, when it says Hashem is descending, I think there's some sort of spiritual descending.
I think it's on the level of Har Sinai.
In
Tehillim. It's not on that level.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Because Har Sinai was a once only occurrence. While David's always talking about Malach Gimel and so on and so forth. Then he talks about that as a poet, I think.
Okay.
At Sinai, it was a bending of the heavens, wasn't it? It was a fusion. There were many heavens, and Hashem bent the heavens. How he came down, he didn't come out of heaven. Here I am. You know, his whole retinue came down and infused.
The Masad Rav Kook says that our pasuk Yishlach Mimoyim Mikachimi Yamsheni Mimayim Rabin can be understood on something quite, quite different, and all about Moshe Rabbeinu. Yikochemi, he took me, is a reference to a posuk in Shemos chapter, base posuk A, about the daughter Paro, Vatirid Bas Paro Lirchotz Al Hayar, the daughter Paro, whose name is Bissio, came down to wash at the Nile. She was actually, Rashi says she was coming to do Tevila for the sake of Geirus, yeah? Yeah, she became a Geirus. She left Mitzrayim together with the with Klal Yisrael.
Daughter of
Paro. It's an amazing midrashim here. Okay, Ratir Bas Paro Lirchus Haleir. In the midrash, V'nareseha Holchus Haleir Haleir. Ratir Satira B'sichasuf. She saw the box where Moshe was in the reeds. Vatishlach es amosa, she stretched out her arm, vatikocheho, and she took the box. And of course the arm, the Medrash and the Gemara said how her arm stretched in order to reach it, miraculously stretched longer. Vatishlach es amosa, vatikocheho, she took it. Now that word vatikocheho, of course, same root as our word, yikocheni, yishlach mimorim yikocheni. He took me. Who's the me? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. They're saying Moshe's life was saved through the daughter Paro. She came to, although Miriam was watching over him and so on, nevertheless, the daughter Paro saw to it that Moshe should be brought up, she brought him up in the palace, in her father's palace. So, Yishlach Mimorim Yikochimi, the word Yikochimi being connected to the word Vatikocheho, the daughter Paro took the box. And then Yamshemi, Mimayim Rabim, well, of course, that's Moshe. Yam Sheni is the Kimin Amayim Meshisiyu. I brought him out of the water. Yam Sheni Mimayim Rabim. So it's all about Moshe Rabbeinu's life being saved by the daughter Paro as she brought him up. Okay.
As his mother brought him up.
Well, the mother brought him up.
She took it.
She took the box. It's true. She got Miriam organized that the mother Yocheved should be the one to feed him and so on and so forth. The Al Sheikh on this pasuk continues in the style that he spoke earlier, namely that David HaMelech is giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having saved Lot and his daughters from Sodom, from the destruction of Sodom, and Yamshini Mimaim Rabim, he rescued me from plenty of water, because David, of course, being descended from Rus, and Rus coming from Moab, Rusta Moaviyah, of course, being an ancestor of David, from the union between Lot and one of his two daughters. Hence, David gives special thanks in this pasuk for having saved Lot and the two daughters from Sodom. Okay. Right, I've left the best to last. Okay, we now come on to a sefer, Zera Yaakov, which we quote quite often. It seems like a bit of a Hasidic sefer, and it's a sefer written either by an ancestor of Eli Pick or an ancestor of his wife. I can't remember. I keep forgetting to check with him. It needs a bit of an introduction. The introduction will start with the Gemara in Bava Kamma, where the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, it's on Daf Sanach Amud Beis. Funny story, actually. A great story. The Gemara says, Yosef Rav Ami Rav Asi Kamid Rabbi Yitzchak. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, who were chaverim and learned together and had many machlokesim in the Gemara together, and are buried next to each other. They're buried next to each other in Eretz Yisrael. At any rate, Rav Ami and Rav Asi were sitting before Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, who was their Rebbe. Mar Omale, one of them said to Rabbi Yitzchak, Lema mar shmatasa, tell us halacha, please teach us halacha. Omar Omale, well, the other one said, Lema mar agadata, tell us a dvar agada. Lema mar agadata, tell us some agada, tell us something midrashic. Pasach lema agadata, so he started to say a piece of agadata, veloshovik mar, while the one who asked for halacha didn't let him continue. Pasach lememar shematasa, so he started saying about halacha, veloshovik mar, and the other one wouldn't allow it. So one wanted agadata, one wanted halacha, and whenever he started, whichever one he started, the other one objected, or interrupted, or stopped him. So Omalehem, he said to them, Emshalachem Moshe, I'll give you a Moshe Lamar Davadome, something with, what can be compared to this? La Adam Shieshbo, Shieshlo Shte Moshe. Compare this to a man with two wives, Achas Yaldova Achasakena. He's got a young wife and an old wife. Yaldova Laketis Lelevonis. The young wife wants her husband to look young. So she plucks out all his grey hairs, all his white hairs. Zakena, the older wife, wants her husband to look venerated and wants him to look like a zokin. So malaketes lo shachoros, she takes out all his black hairs. Yeah, nimsa kereach mikan or mikan. It turns out this guy ends up completely bald. Right? So he says, "You want me to say halacha? You want me to say agadata? Every time I start saying agadata, you interrupt. Every time you want me to say agadata, you interrupt. I'm getting nowhere." We'll end up with nothing. Yeah, we'll end up with, like, I'll be completely bald. We'll end up with nothing. So then he said, "You know what? I'll tell you one pasuk, and on that pasuk I'll tell you a halacha, and I'll also tell you some agadata." Okay? And he quoted a pasuk. So Amalei, he says to him, "Ihachir, so Emelachu Milsa, I'll tell you something to Shavya Lishravayu, which is good for both of you." And he quoted a pasuk. And the pasuk's in Shemos, and it's chapter Kaf Beis. And it's Pasuk Hay. And the Pasuk is, Ki Seitzei Eish U'motza Akotzim, if fire goes out, Pasuk Mishpatim, if fire goes out, and it encounters some thorns, and the whole thing catches fire, V'nechal Godish, and it ends up that a haystack goes up in fire, or Hakoma, or maybe standing grain goes up in fire, or Asada, or a field goes up in fire, Shalem Yishalem Hamavir Es Haba'ira, the one who started the fire has to pay back for the damage. Oh, so he said, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, so he says, Teitse Me'atzma. This pasuk starts off by saying, Ki Seitse Eish, fire goes out, seemingly of its own accord. Yet, who's chayav for it? The owner of the fire, the one who set the fire, who put the fire out, who made the fire in the first place. So he says, what about us? Our Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Shalim Yishalim HaMavir Saba'ira. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It wasn't a random fire that went out. We are the ones who set the Beis HaMikdash on fire through our Averus. We caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, yet the Pasuk says, Shalemi Shalemi Hamavir Sabeira, the one who set the fire, who put the fire, who got the fire going, he's going to pay back. And who is that? Who is that one who's going to repay the damage? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Hashem, Alai L'Shalem Es HaBe'ira, it's my job to pay back for the damage. I organize for the Beis HaMikdash to be burnt down, I will repay. Why? Shehiv Aretzi Ani, because I'm the one who set it on fire. Hitzesi Eish B'Tzion, he quotes the Pasuk, Hitzesi Eish B'Tzion, which is a he says, I set Yerushalayim on fire, Shenema, and he quotes the Pasuk in Eicha. Let me get it, I want to get it right. Pasuk is in Eicha, chapter Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, where the Pasuk says, Vayatzes Eish Bitzion, he set Yerushalayim on fire, Vatuchal Yisrael Seho, and it consumed its foundations. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I set Yerushalayim on fire, Va'ani osid liv nosa ba'esh, I will rebuild it with fire. Shenemar, or quotes the Pasuk in Zechariah, and the Pasuk in Zechariah, chapter base, Pasuk Tes.
This
is in Baba Kama, Daf Sanach Omed base. Zechariah. Here we are. No. Yeshua. So we have a Pasuk, Zechariah chapter base, Pasuk Tes, where the Pasuk says, Va'ani ehye lo nu'um Hashem. Hashem says, I will be for it chumas eish saviv, a surrounding wall of fire. Olachavod, and for its glory, ehye v'socha, I will be within it. So what's the idea? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I destroyed Yerushalayim with fire, I will be a wall of fire to it. I will rebuild Yerushalayim with fire. V'ani asid l'vnosa v'eishenema, v'ani ehye lo chumas eish saviv, olachavod ehye v'socha. So that is the piece of Agadata that Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha said based on the Pasuk Kisei Eish.
No, Zechariah continues to say that it's only through my spirit, referring to Hashem's spirit, that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt.
Ah, right. Oh, very good. Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with the rest of Zechariah at all. Yeah. Oh, so that makes sense. Fine. So Hashem says, I'll rebuild it and I'll put my spirit into Yerushalayim.
No, it's only through my spirit that the whole Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. It won't be through human agencies.
Are you quoting Kim Baruch Yomar Hashem? Kim Baruch Yomar Hashem. I think it's going to be this Shabbos is Haftorah. I think it's Haftorah for Shabbos Hanukkah.
It is Hanukkah, yes.
Oh, Kim Baruch Yomar Hashem. I don't know where it is, somewhere in Zechariah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay. So the point being that he says, I'm going to rebuild, I destroyed Yerushalayim with fire, I will rebuild it in fire. And then later on the Gemara goes on to say, he gives a tzva halacha based on the same pasuk that he quoted, Kisei, the fire goes out. He says halacha based on that pasuk. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha kept both Rav Ami and Rav Asi happy, both with the tzva halacha and with a tzva agadata.
Funnily enough, I found the best explanation of the relationship between halacha and agada was a sefer by the Maharal called the Be'er HaGolah, which has just come out in English by Art School. It just came out in their recent offers for Hanukkah.
Good to know.
You can order it from any shop from Lehman's.
Are you on commission?
No, I bought the book myself and I gave it to the shul.
Did you really? My son-in-law has learnt a lot of Maharal. I've never learnt any Maharal, but my son-in-law has learnt a lot of Maharal.
It's very, very good.
Yeah? Is it? Yeah.
Well, that's why it's okay. English translation.
Oh, that will help. Yeah. Oh, that will help. Thank you.
Interesting also to come out, if Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash with fire, fire tends to ascend up into the heavens. This is an arousal from below to above. If he's going to rebuild it with fire, responding to that arousal from below, from a gift from above, so it will come down. And whereas the Beis HaMikdash, first and second one, were built with stone and timber, which is of the earth. The difference is that since Hashem, as he said, I destroy it, I'm responsible, he will bring it down with materials which are not of this world.
Yeah. Oh. Now, this, so in short, that Gemara in Bava Kamma says that Hashem says, I destroyed the Beis Hamikdash in fire, I will rebuild it in fire. This is echoed by Rashi in Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, where Rashi, right at the bottom, it's the second last line of Rashi on the page, says that Mikdash Heosid, the future base of Mikdash Onimit Sapim that we're waiting for, we're hoping for, Bonui is built, Umeshuchlol, and is completed. Hu Yegale, Hashem will reveal it, for Yovem Mishomayim, and it will come down from heaven. Shenema, and he quotes the Pasuk, and the Pasuk is, of course, in the Shira, it's in Shemos chapter Tesvov, where it's chapter Tesvov, and it's Pasuk Yud Zayin, where the Pasuk says, Mocha Neshivtecha Pal Tashem, Mikdash Hashem Kenunu Yadecha. The Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your hands have formed it. Which actually is the Pasuk written on the outside of the shul. Yeah? Yeah. At any rate, so, Mikdash Hashem, Kenunu Yadecha, your hands have formed it. So Rashi here is saying that third Beis HaMikdash will descend, V'yavim Mishamayim, it'll come down from heaven. Okay? So you can see here clearly, Rashi's going along, seems to go along with that Gemara and Bava Kamma, Hashem will recreate it somehow in fire, and it will descend from heaven. Okay? That is the opinion of Rashi. Mikdash Hashem Kenunu Yadecha here. Kenunu Yadecha. Actually, it's not Rashi on there, although I saw in the Musaf Rashi, printed in the Mikras Gedolos, big red, quotes this. It's actually the Rashi I'm really quoting from is Rashi on Gemara Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Because Rashi quotes that pasuk, Mikdash Hashem Kenunu Yadecha. Your hands will form it. Your hands will form the third Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so the third Beis Hamikdash will be made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will descend from Shemayim. That's how Rashi learns. Okay, so far so good.
What about the pasuk at the end of the Tehillim that we say on Shabbos?
Is that talking about the Beis HaMikdash? I'm not familiar. I don't know that it is.
I think it is.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's talking about this mitzvah. It might be. I really don't know what that passage is talking about. But Kenunu is, of course, comes from the same word as Mikdash Hashem Kenunu Yadecha. Yeah, it's the same roots. Kenunu Aleinu. Oh, so the opinion of Rashi is that the third base of Mikdash will be made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will come down from Shemayim. Now the Rambam in Hilchas Melachim, Pek Yud Aleph Halacha Aleph, says HaMelech HaMashiach Osid Lamud, Melech HaMashiach will in the future, he will stand Ola Hachzim Malchus David LeYoshna, and he will bring back the kingdom of David to its former glory, Ola Lememshala to rulership, Lememshala Rishana to its earlier rule, Uvone HaMikdash, that the Melech HaMashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash. And he'll bring back all the scattered ones of Israel. Says the Rambam that who will build the third Beis HaMikdash? Not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech HaMashiach will build the third Beis HaMikdash. Yeah? So you have a very clear machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam as to who's going to build that third Beis HaMikdash.
He says through my spirit will the Beis HaMikdash be built. He doesn't specify whether it will be through Hashem or through man. It's a combination of both. You can see it's machlokus Rashi Rambam. Rashi says, clear Rashi
in Sukkah Mem Aleph, that the Beis HaMikdash will come down from heaven, and a Rambam, Hilchus Melachim Pek Yud Aleph Halacha Aleph, that the Melech HaMashiach, his job is to build the Beis HaMikdash. HaMelech HaMashiach Osid Lamed, Elhach Semachus, David Liyeshna, Lemenshal Rishena, Uvone HaMikdash. He will build the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Now, I first heard of this machlokus Rashi Rambam in a shiur given on the night of Hoshana Rabbah in the Shul Sukkah given by Rabbi Kupa Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And Rabbi Kupa came up with a phenomenal idea. He said, we can resolve the machlokus Rashi and Rambam. I don't know if this is Rabbi Kupa's own chiddush or if he's taking it from somewhere else. He quoted a Gemara, and the Gemara is in Bava Basra, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua. The Gemara is talking about if a ger dies with no yerushim, no inheritors. So the land that the ger leaves is hefka. And anyone who comes along and makes a kinyan on it, he will be the owner of the land. Says the Gemara here, Baba Basur Nun Gemara Amar Beis, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua. Habuna paltrim gedolim benichse hager. If a person builds for himself an enormous palace on the property of a ger, meaning a ger who's died leaving no inheritors, uvo acher, and someone else comes along, vehemiz lohenda losos, and he puts the doors up on that property. So Reuven builds a great big mansion, but does not put any doors on the mansion. Along comes Shimon and puts the doors on, Kono. It's Shimon who's made the kinyan. Okay? How to make a kinyan on the land? Kinyan chazoka, you display ownership. Building a property of itself is not a kinyan chazoka. Not until you put the doors up. Why? My timer, what's the reason? Kamo, the first person, Reuven, who built the house, Livne ba'almo hu da'apich, he simply turned over a few bricks. He's rearranged a pile of bricks into a building, into a house. But as a building, it is not useful without doors. Along comes Shimon, puts the finishing touches by putting the doors on. That's the kinyan. It's Shimon who's made the kinyan chazok on that property. So Rabbi Kupa says, that's how we can resolve the machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. According to Rashi, the Beis Hamikdash will descend from heaven, but it will descend without doors. It's our job to put the doors on, and when we put the doors on, we make a kinyan on the whole building. We are putting the finishing touches to it. With that, we make a kinyan on the whole building. Mezuzah doesn't speak about. No, not at all. Not at all. It's referring to making a kinyan on land by building on it. But not until you put the doors up. You haven't made the kinyan until you put the doors up. And this is also a very similar idea, because Yeshua, after they captured Yericho, Yeshua made a gezerah, I forgot to look it up. Yeshua said anyone who rebuilt Yericho will be punished by the death of his children. And one man came along, I can't remember his name, and as he was putting the doors up, his last child died, because put the finishing touches to the whole building.
So this should make sense in this context, that this is a prayer that we just need to do to Shuva, this Tehillim, and it seems to finish.
Tzaddi, you mean? Yeah,
and it seems to finish that we have to do the last bit ourselves.
Oh, so it goes along very nicely with that. Yeah. So putting in the finishing touches to it. Now, okay. Now, in the Sefer, so all that's the Machlokes, and it gave me a nice excuse to tell you something over from Rabbi Cooper. Now, all of this is, along comes the Sefer Zera Yaakov, and he learning like Rashi, that the Beis Hamikdash will descend from Shemayim, he says as follows, Yishlach mimorim, Hashem will send from on high. What will he send from on high? The Beis Hamikdash, the third Beis Hamikdash. And yikocheni means he will take me, but it's a particular expression of taking. And he quotes a pasuk in Parshas Chukas, where the pasuk says, Here we are. He quotes a pasuk from Chukas, chapter Kaf, pasuk Kaf Hei, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, take Aaron and Elazar, and take them up to her Hahar, because Aaron is going to die there. And the pasuk says, "Kach es Aaron, take Aaron." Says Rashi there, "Bedivrei nichumim, you take Aaron with comforting words." So he says the word "kach" is an expression of comfort. Kach es Aaron, you'll comfort Aaron because Aaron's going to die, but take him, comfort him that he'll be fine. You know, he'll be okay. He's going to die, but he'll be absolutely fine. So he says, Yishlach mimorim, Hashem will send the third Beis Hamikdash from on high, Yikocheni, he will comfort me. Why? And he quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter Nun Aleph, Pasuk Yed Beis, which is a Pasuk very familiar to us from the Haftarah, where the Pasuk there says, Onuchi, Onuchi, one minute, Yeshaya, chapter Nun Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, here we are, yes, of course, one of the seven half toes. Anochi, Anochi, hu menachemchem. I will be your comforter. Hashem says, only I will be your comforter. It says, Yikochimi is an expression of comfort, like with Aaron, Kachas Aaron, Beduvi Nechumim, take him with comforting words. So he says, Anochi Anochi Humanachemchem, I will comfort you, I'll be the one to comfort you. And that's what it means, that only Hashem will be the one to comfort us. And how will he comfort us? By sending us the third base of Mikdosh from on high. Yishtachmimon Yikochimi, learning like Rashi, that the third base of Mikdosh will descend from on high. Bimheri Aminu.